Greetings and good morning, everybody. You are listening to KVNF, Mountain Grown Community Radio. For the news department, I'm Eric Gould, and here's your local newscast for Wednesday, December 26th. From wildfires to ranching and farming to next year's water supplies, everyone is wondering what kind of winter Colorado is going to have. We're taking a look at how snow, or the lack of it, will impact the state going into 2013. The ski industry runs on snow, some resorts more than others. Ski towns like Aspen and Vail still get business in spite of poor snow. Last year, while many resorts took a huge hit, Aspen did well because of one type of guest, the international visitor. This sought-after tourist books longer vacations, spends more money, and cares less about poor snow than other guests. As drought conditions persist this winter, ski resorts are banking on business from overseas. From Aspen Public Radio, Marcy Krivenin reports.
On a wet December evening in Aspen, Chris Foyle and his family are strolling downtown. They just arrived from Monaco, and they're popping in and out of restaurants and shops festooned with Christmas lights. Foyle says they've been vacationing in Aspen for years.
We first came here in, I think it was March 1988. We loved it. We liked the atmosphere, everything that goes on here. We love the skiing, of course, which is on the whole better than in Europe.
Ski resorts dream about visitors like the Foyle family. They typically stay for 3 or 4 weeks at a time in both winter and summer.
We have a place here, and so we see ourselves coming here for many years to come.
And when the Foyles arrive in Aspen, they bring along their pocketbooks.
The international guest spends more while they're here, and they stay longer, and they book further in advance. So for those reasons, the destination guest is at the top of the economic totem pole.
Ralph Garrison tracks market conditions at ski resorts for the Mountain Travel Research Program. He says resorts spend millions on overseas ad campaigns specifically designed to get visitors like the Foyle family to the mountains. He says international guests often book vacations despite poor snow, keeping resorts afloat in particularly challenging years like last year.
Skier days were down quite a bit. Aspen did better on skier days and destination visitation because it has more of a destination clientele.
Aspen bucked last season's ski industry trend, maintaining steady business compared to the year before, while skier visits at resorts across the country dropped 16%.
International visitors are very important to us. They always have been, but over the last 5 years, 6 years, 10 years, that importance has been increasing.
Jeff Hanley is spokesman for the Aspen Skiing Company. He says the company works with travel agencies abroad, so when an Australian decides to book a trip, their travel agent points to deals specifically in Aspen.
We have an international sales team out there. They travel, you know, I don't know what it is now, 15, 20 countries around the globe throughout the year, mostly prior to our winter season. I think it's no secret that our biggest markets just go out on the slopes in January and February, and you'll hear a lot of Australian accents. You'll hear a lot of Portuguese from Brazil, Mexico, Canada, Germany, UK. All those are the top markets.
Aspen's Gondola Plaza feels like a model United Nations these days, with every language and clothing style represented. Aspen is among a handful of Colorado resorts that attract this international clientele. Resort analyst Ralph Garrison says for some resorts, overseas business makes up 20% of their overall mix.
Most of the business is domestic business. Some of the larger brands that have been around the longest, that have the biggest reputations, have relatively more international business.
And the reputation of Aspen, along with Vail, Beaver Creek, Breckenridge, Steamboat Springs, and Telluride, attract this kind of clientele. Back in downtown Aspen, Chris Foyle from Monaco is preparing for a jam-packed holiday with his family.
Some of us will be skiing or snowboarding, others just mooching around around town and going to one or two parties and going to restaurants, a lot of reading and writing, well, yeah, a mixture of things.
Foyle and his family will be spending money along the way, and that's exactly what the resort that spent so much money to get Foyle here in the first place wants. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, I'm Marcy Grevenen.
Republicans in Colorado are coming off a difficult election after losing control of the Colorado State House. Benta Berkland talked to the next House Minority Leader, Republican Mark Waller, to see how he'll motivate his caucus during the session and work with Democrats.
I'm here with House Minority Leader Mark Waller of Colorado Springs. Thanks for talking to me.
Happy to visit with you today.
Your party's coming off a tough election cycle where you lost the majority. How do you regroup after that, and what are you telling members of your caucus?
Well, I think first and foremost, the loss isn't necessarily about us, about the Republican Party. We still have a job to do in the Colorado State House, promote the best public policy for the people of the state of Colorado that we can. And we are absolutely committed to doing that.
Are there any things you're going to have to do as minority leader just to energize your caucus?
Well, I think it's no secret. We'd much rather be in the majority than we would like to be in the minority. But that's only because, again, we would have a greater voice in promoting good public policy for the people of the state of Colorado.
And what are going to be your top priorities?
The state of Colorado is in an economic recovery right now. It's an incredibly slow economic recovery. So I think our first priority is to do no harm. We can't do things to private business in the state of Colorado that are going to make it harder to continue on this economic recovery.
I know it's hard to predict, but looking ahead, do you see any big sticking points that you think both parties will be grappling with?
I'd like to point out that we are going to actually agree on more than we're going to disagree. So I look forward to working in a bipartisan manner. But, I mean, there will be a couple of, you know, a few issues that we will probably fight over.
You know, when you say fighting over issues, I'm thinking civil unions will come up, and then also the lower tuition category for illegal immigrant high school graduates. Do you see more movement from the Republican caucus supporting either of those measures?
Yeah, I don't know about that. The reality is with those issues, those have been issues that traditionally the GOP has opposed. Well, Democrats have supported them going into this session. The Democrats don't need us on those issues, and they can pass those without Republican support, and we anticipate that's what's going to happen.
I'm just wondering about the tuition bill. I know that there's a lot of talk nationally about the GOP courting the Hispanic vote.
You know, I think what Republicans need to do better is put our message out to Hispanic voters, not only in the state of Colorado, but we need to do a better job. It's something we haven't done well, and we absolutely need to figure out how to get together with Hispanic voters in Colorado and across America and better articulate our message to them.
Do you see this bill as a way to do that?
Certainly. We need to look at every bill that comes across, and we need to make sure that we give every single bill a fair hearing. It's incumbent upon Republicans to make sure that as we're talking about these bills, we understand the concerns and issues presented by the Hispanic community as we're talking about those pieces of legislation.
Okay, in the past, you sponsored a bipartisan bill to create a legal limit for driving while high. So far, that measure hasn't passed the legislature. Now that we have legal recreational use of marijuana, do you expect to bring that back?
Absolutely. That is an absolutely crucial piece of legislation that we're going to need going forward. I mean, we're going to have more marijuana in the state of Colorado, which means more people are going to be driving under the influence. And the proponents of Amendment 64 said they wanted to regulate marijuana just like we regulate alcohol in the state of Colorado. And for alcohol, we have a presumptive limit for driving under the influence.
Do you expect the marijuana regulations and the legislature's role in crafting them to take up a lot of time this session, and then also passing an excise tax, which is required under the amendment?
Well, I think it's going to take up a lot of time early on in the session for sure. In fact, I think that's going to dominate the early days of this session, discussions on implementation of Amendment 64. I think it's premature, though, to say that we're going to have to pass an excise tax. You know, I'm not sure that a constitutional amendment can dictate any action on a legislator in the state of Colorado. I mean, what's the remedy if we don't act? That's not to say we shouldn't, or we won't.
The legislature is required to pass a balanced budget every year. In recent years, it's been making deep cuts. That's not the case this coming session. Do you think it'll make those negotiations easier?
I don't know if it'll make negotiations easier. In fact, I think in some respects, it actually makes the negotiations harder. And the crucial decisions are going to be, where do we spend those dollars? Do we spend them on expanding Medicaid? Do we spend them on K through 12 education? I think one of the things we need to work very hard to do is get higher education back to sustainable levels. We have cut them more consistently than any other area in state government over the last 4 years, and we certainly need to be working to bringing higher education back to a sustainable level.
House Minority Leader Mark Waller from Colorado Springs, thanks again.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Benta Berkland in Denver.
And that concludes your local newscast for Wednesday. For KVNF, Mountain Grown Community Radio, I'm Eric Gould. Brian Cambria will be back with you tomorrow. Have a great hump day, and thanks for listening.